Talk Shoe. Recorded live.
Welcome to the Customer Experience Optimization Talk Show. This show features universal tips on customers' perspective of keeping brand promises. I'm your host, Lynn Hunsaker, head of Clear Action, and I have Ingrid Lindberg here as a partner in this talk show today. She's the head of Chief Customer. And you can visit our websites, clearactioncx.com or chiefcustomer.com, for a lot of information about how to move your customer experience management forward. And what we were doing recently is talking about CX Day, and that was at the beginning of October. And we're thinking about how the whole field of customer experience management has been progressing and the need to celebrate those milestones and talk about what we see the future for customer experience needing. So hello, Ingrid.
Hi, Lynn. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing much better than I was doing when we were supposed to have this little chat at the beginning of October. So apologies to friends and family. Can I tell the story, Lynn? Can I just
yes,
make everybody
yes.
feel bad for me for 2 seconds? So
you
Lynn
bet.
And I...
You've been through a lot.
Like, thanks, Lynn. Liv and I do this talk show once a month, and it is one of my favorite things to do of all the webinars and all the speeches, because this feels like just chatting with old friends and, you know, telling some more stories and figuring out stuff we've done and hopefully sharing it with you guys. And so we had our talk show set up to be on Customer Experience Professionals Day. We were so ready and excited. And then I had, quote unquote, a minor jaw surgery. Now, let me just tell you all something. Let's set some customer experience rules here. When you're going to the doctor and they say it's a minor surgery, you'll be in and out, there will be no problems, I think that that is a beautiful thing to do. You're setting expectations for me. Now, the problem is when that's not what actually happens, then the world kind of goes pooey. So very long story short, minor surgery ended up being a hot mess and a half, and I didn't actually have the ability to talk for almost a week. So it was a little crazy, and I apologize that I had to bail out at the last second. I was hopeful that I was going to have a miraculous recovery, and I did not. But, hey, a month later, and here we are back again.
And then I think it was the next day that Hurricane Matthew hit, so you had a couple of whammies.
It was. There's nothing like laying on your couch hoping that, you know, your face is going to heal and watching massive amounts of rain pound down on your little state. So down here in St. Pete, we had a lot of rain and a lot of wind, but not much damage. So pretty lucky here. We hosted a great big hurricane hotel party at our house. So, you know, it's been an interesting couple of weeks, Lynn.
Definitely. Well, we had fun in spite of it all. We really enjoyed CX Day, and I've managed to do something every week for celebrating CX Day since
Yay!
Then. So. Yeah, why not?
Keep
celebrate customers all the time.
Totally. Keep it going. So a little bit of a rehash, right? So we'll go back a little bit to something that we were going to do, but it's still pretty pertinent to your point. So you're in charge today, though, Lynn. I'll stop telling my horrible stories.
I was looking over my notes of things that I thought were really consequential, and I think that the things that have been happening in this last maybe 8-10 years have been a lot of progress in knowing how to guide customers, how to get customers to engage, rebuy, and recommend. And I've got a lot of examples to show to share about that. But I think going forward, I see the need to do a lot more work in customer experience management and guiding employees and guiding the company to have more organic growth, to be more of a hand-in-glove experience with the customer. So that's the stage that I'm going to set here. What's the stage that you'd like to set, Ingrid?
Oh, goodness. So I think, you know, it's funny because every year on CX Pros Day, I write a blog somewhere around the lines of, you know, how far we have come, yet how far we have to go. And there's two things that I think are pretty consistent year over year over year in my way too many years of talking about this. And number one is really all around definition, right? So I think that we've made some pretty big strides in defining what customer experience is, defining what some of those role types are. But I think we have a really far way to go still on defining what that means from a what are you actually doing every day and how does that actually impact your company. So a lot around definition. We'll talk about that. And then secondarily, and you know, Lynn, you've known me for a long time, so this will not be news to you. You know, I have been talking about customer experience strategy as equal parts business transformation and cultural transformation for 15, 20 years now. And I think that when I look back at where we started, you know, a lot of this was journey mapping or maybe some NPS stuff, and now we're getting closer and closer to actually building strategies. We still haven't officially gotten that lockstep together of culture and business transformation. So that's my kind of two framing, you know, overarching thought processes I'll run through with us today. So we're not that far off, are we?
We are peas in a pod, because I've been saying the same thing since I started blogging as well. And I do have a lot of appreciation for the fact that now when you go on LinkedIn, for example, and you type in customer experience, you come up with a lot. And I would say that before 2009, that was not the case. I think that the recession had that silver lining. Also, the CXPA coming into being in 2011 has had a big role in that. And further, the definition of what the competencies are about customer experience management has been perpetuated by the CXPA's certification program, CCXP. So I'm really grateful for those things.
For sure, and I think you're going to totally pee your pants just laughing at this one. This is I used this in a talk, gosh, probably 2-3 months ago now, and I remember, and you'll probably remember when, I have a screenshot of that lovely LinkedIn search bar with customer experience officer typed in, and I was the only result. I was the only result on LinkedIn. So you would type in customer experience officer, and it would say Ingrid Lindberg. And
wow.
If you type that in today, 8,758 people come back as a customer experience officer. So,
my
you know,
goodness.
I think, is that crazy? I don't even think there's that many companies in this country, but that's okay.
I'm sure there's actually multiples of that, so we still have a bit of ways to go.
We do. I'm teasing today, right? But it's amazing to me because I do think that although it was such an unknown, and I mean, that screenshot is from 2007, so we're talking less than 10 years ago, right? And the amount of growth we have seen of this practice and of this vertical, I think, has just been outstanding. And I do agree, I think, you know, you and I were both in the very, very, very early days of the CXPA. You know, I tease Bruce sometimes, there were like 6 or 7 of us that were doing a lot of work on the side, trying to get that thing stood up. But it's the definition around what makes someone into a practitioner that I think we still have a lot of space to build on. Because I don't know about you, but more often than not, I'm still seeing people that just happened to be a really great performer at a very senior level in an organization. And a CEO says, hey, we need a customer experience officer. Why don't we make you into that person? Have you run into that, Lynn?
Well, yes, and I think that that has some pluses to it, because if the person is well-versed in the company and has a lot of connections, that can be a big plus. However, being in charge of customer experience is not to be taken lightly, and I think that there is too much of that among the C-team. When you think about it, customers are the hand that feeds you. So for crying out loud, create some criteria. Make sure that you really think that through. I just think that there's a lot of room to be progressing among the C-team in particular, and thinking about customer experience as a context for the entire corporate strategy and all of the things that go along with that, your structure, organizational structure, what gets people ahead. And I think that's where you're thinking about culture and customers coming together. So I think that those are huge areas, as well as the whole landscape of customer experience management. getting less muddy in the future, I hope, because it was the case after 2009, 2011, people were jumping on the bandwagon. Oh, my software thing that I had before, I'm calling it a new label, customer experience, this or that. And it just became really muddy, and there's been a danger of diluting the value. So those are some cautions and some needs for the future.
Oh, for sure. I won't ask you this question. Never ask a question you don't know the answer to. I did a blog post a couple of weeks ago. I think it was out on LinkedIn. I think I used LinkedIn for this one. And one of the graphs that I put in there was the convergence, the moment, and it's just one of the lovely Google Analytics tools, the difference between searches for customer sat versus customer experience. And have you ever seen this? Have you taken a peek at this, Lynn?
No, I remember seeing your post, but I don't recall the graphic right off.
It's one of my favorites right now because you're right on, right on the timing. So what happened, 2008, 2009, 2010, you see this uptick, right, the slow uptick, and people looking up what customer experience is. And I like to say whoever writes it down first wins. I think those of us who just wrote down definitions on places like Wikipedia and started putting stuff out there, we got to do a lot of that definition. But 2011 is when it just shot through the roof. So, you saw, and I still see, these job descriptions that are kind of all over the place and, definitions of what I'm accountable for that are all over the place. I think we'll get closer and closer. I think you're totally right on the, if you've got a high performer who understands how the business works, that can be a thing that can be an asset. But I love, I talk to a lot of CEOs when they're trying to fill these jobs, and I keep telling them, I'm like, would you just take your highest performer and put them into your CFO role? Or your chief marketing officer role. And I think until we get to a point where people are really clear about what that path is to be a great customer experience exec, and that's how their skill set has matched and that's what they've progressed through their career to get to, that's, I think, the moment when we're going to hit the super credibility where, everybody wants to be a part of the C-suite and, be seen as an equal member of the C-suite. But I think that's part of it, at least, that's point of view of Ingrid in the corner in St. Pete.
Yeah.
So
what are some of the other aspects of customer experience management that you're appreciating these days?
I think that we're getting smarter about the fact that there is not one metric. I think that mm-hmm. is something we're definitely getting smarter about. I'm sure you remember this moment of everybody said, oh, it's NPS, and went running towards the NPS factory. and I think that as we get smarter and we understand what the drivers are in these different industries and in these different companies, we're going to continue to get smarter about the fact that there is not a answer that is the answer for every single industry and company. So that's, I think, a huge bit of progress that I've seen. People are actually starting to branch out and understand what the drivers are in their organization. What up next for you, Lynn? I'll bounce back.
I see that there's a lot of progress in post-sale assistance to customers. For example, success managers were an outgrowth of the software as a service boom, and I think that success managers are a really great idea. I really love that there's a lot of self-service nowadays, and that has happened largely, that's caused data to be centralized for easy access by customers. First contact resolution, proactive service, so that you're not just, your contact centers aren't just taking inbound calls, but making calls to customers to say, hey, did you know that there's this feature? Did you know that you could save money? I think that's really awesome. More companies have more listening posts, a double-edged sword there, but certainly they're trying to listen and understand different parts of the customer experience. I think that there's a lot of strength in companies that are doing a voice of the customer in the action alerts. They take a lot of pride in that, although I can tell you that they are not new. They've been around for 25 years. We were doing it in 1991 when I set up my first customer sat methodology. And I do think that digital marketing, content marketing, and attempts at omni-channel service, omni-channel marketing, omni-channel whatever, have been pretty positive.
You know, I always, we forget to remind people, right? Your world is so business to business and my world is so business to consumer. I think one of the most fun parts about listening to you talk about what you've seen in your space is just how different it is than, you know, some of what we've seen in the business to consumer space. And I always appreciate that so much about you. So thank you, Lynn. So what do you think the biggest change is that you've seen when you really think about what you've seen in the B2B space in customer experience over the last 25 years? What's the thing that makes you go, you know what, damn, that's really cool? Is that even something you would ever say, Lynn?
Oh, well, I don't know.
My word, my word.
Being a lot right there. But, see, the thing is that I have a lot of mixed feelings because in 1991, it was the American Marketing Association and the American Society for Quality, ASQ and AMA, that joined forces, and they had customer satisfaction conferences back in those days. And a lot of the stuff that we're talking about now in conferences is the exact same stuff as then, except that now we're talking a lot more about engaging customers. And back then, they were talking a lot more about improving things for customers because of the ASQ involvement in that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then I think that things morphed when CRM came on the horizon. And then the contact centers kind of took over, you know, that space of customer stuff. And then, you know, loyalty and word of mouth marketing. So I just don't see, you know, this thing as being that clean. I think we've had ebbs and flows. I think that a lot of companies where if somebody arrives at a conference and they say, my company's just getting started in customer experience management, I say, no, I remember them speaking at the same conference back in 1994. and then we actually had balanced scorecards evolve, you know, coming very big on the scenes in the late 90s, and that was huge. How do you make customer experience data tie into financials and cultural and operational data? And then we kind of, you know, step backwards in a way with the single metric. So I just have a hard time saying, but I guess if I distill it to one thing in the whole customer experience field that I think has probably had the most positive impact might be customer journey mapping, just because that has opened a lot of people's eyes to the fact that customer experience is not just an interaction and it's not just some fluffy thing or just emotions. It's actually the whole gamut of what our business is trying to support. And a lot of people still have a lot more awareness and aha moments ahead of them with regard to that type of a tool. And I don't think that CGM is a be-all, end-all. I think that there's a lot of things you can do in place of it that are just as good. But I think that that has been very instrumental.
You know, that's an interesting perspective. I think I remember, and this once again, this is one of those things where you giggle a little bit yourself. I remember when we used to do all of our screen design literally in things like Visio, right? So you would sit down and you would do screen to screen to screen and draw out each of your screens for, you know, really old school web interfaces in Visio. That's how you did your design. And I think about, you know, how that started and how that truly is inherently the base of journey mapping, if you think about it, right? I mean, we were using it in true interaction design or user design, so human to screen. But if you think about how that has grown and hopefully, if done well, gets beyond human to screen, right, gets into that full effect of what that interaction could be. Now, if I think about a journey map and I think about where we still need to go with that, I would say it still is too stagnant. It still is too point in time, and most of the time, it's way too current state, right? It's way too much current state. And some places are doing a much better job at pushing beyond that, here's exactly what we have and here's what it looks like. And, you know, but I walked into an awful lot of places and I'm like, wow, this looks like a process map. This doesn't look like what your customers actually go through.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So I totally agree with you. I think that's one of the coolest things that has really evolved as a artifact that is recognized as a part of customer experience. So it brings credibility, right? It brings credibility.
Right. However, I would say that as far as making the biggest impact on my life as a customer, I doubt the customer journey mapping has been the most prominent thing. I do think that the other stuff that I mentioned just a moment ago have had a bigger impact on my happiness as a customer of many companies.
Nice. I like that. Nice tie-in.
Yeah. So, I mean, the whole problem is that we haven't been looking at customer journey mapping and other voice of the customer enough as a game changer for our company, a transformation vehicle, a way to shape the way that we think about ourselves and the way that we do things, a reason to depart from business as usual. And people are really hesitant to embrace that whole notion because, you know, it's not comfortable. But I think that we have pretty well honed the art of doing things to customers or trying to get customers to do things for us. And we need to flip the coin to do more stuff for customers and do more things to align ourselves with customers. And that's where the sustainable financial growth in the company is going to come from. And in order to do that, you have to have omni-channel. You have to have the customer experience being a context for your corporate strategy. You need to be looking at CRM more as a relationship builder, not just as a revenue builder. The same thing with your CCO or your customer experience officer. Many of the conferences they've had in the past have been way too much about revenue growth and not enough about what I'm talking about here. Looking at your VOC data for patterns, connecting the dots for people, prioritizing by customer lifetime value, being action obsessed in everything that you're doing in customer experience management. What I see as a major gap is that we ask customers for a lot of feedback. Help us do this map. Help us with our net promoter thing. Would you recommend us? You know, how well did the person, how friendly was the person that you just talked to on the 800 number? They were just asking for all these favors for customers, and then we're turning around and saying, hey, engage with us, like our Facebook page, recommend us. You know, all the different things that we really want our customers to do as positive behaviors. And what I see as a major gap is how are we earning the latter? How are we showing appreciation for the former? So when we're asking people for something in a regular relationship, you have to do something about it or show that you are that you're sincere and that you're taking it to heart, and then in turn, they will give you the warm fuzzies that you're looking for. So that's where I see the big disconnect.
You know, I am 100% on board with that, right? We are amazing at looking at customers as cost centers, but we do not understand that as a part of a relationship, you must also invest, right? You must also invest. And I think that we have spent so much time rigging up customers as cost centers that it's really difficult for companies to move away from that. And one of the things that, you know, I find that I spend an enormous amount of time on with my clients is helping them to, you know, make that shift from a focus on whatever your number is that is so key to you, you know, whether it's your bottom line revenue, whether it's your top line revenue, whether it's quality, whether it is pricing, you know, whatever that numerical driver is, and helping people to start to see that through a customer lens, right? So that's not 1% of your customer base didn't receive the package in the time that they were promised. That's actually a million people didn't receive the package in the time that they were promised. And it's one of those things where I think the humanizing of the numerical attributes that sit on a balance sheet is one of the most profoundly effective ways to actually change culture. And I find that to be true from top down, right? It's not about we've got, 42 lines in queue. We have 42 people waiting to be helped, right? So it's that constant reminder of the humanity of the other side. What have you seen along those lines, Lynn?
Oh, yes. Often flipping the metric upside down like you're talking about is really necessary to compel managers to take action. Otherwise, we're in a business as usual. And when you do put a story with it in terms of, hey, this is the consequence of the customer. These are things that the customer would have done otherwise would have been positive for us. That can tell a lot of information that brings things home to any manager. And I think that, we need to be thinking bigger about customer experience management as far as within our own companies. Who doesn't have a ripple effect on the customer? Take that as a challenge to really discuss in your team and think about ways that you can make things more relevant to every single functional area and involve all those functional areas and think about culture and stuff from the very beginning. And I really hate seeing these maturity curves where they're saying, culture embedded in the culture is like the end. Because, yes,
it never stops.
Well, but that's true, but you'll never get there. And you actually need to be looking at it. That may be the case right now, but the right way to look at it is, how do we embed the culture from the get-go? How do we embed the culture now? And how do we make things stick? Because otherwise you're going to constantly see things being thrown out the window because somebody changes jobs or, whatever happens. And I know we all love this field so much that we don't want to see that happen.
Oh, my goodness. I cannot say enough about that one. I think my favorite moment I was having earlier today, and you will appreciate this, I was talking with a client of mine, and we were talking about accountability and behavioral change. And I said, at the end of the day, org structures, management changes, people coming and going, none of that is an excuse for not actually doing what's right for your customer, right? None of that is an excuse for not doing what's right for your customer. And I think so often, we kind of put the lipstick on the proverbial pig of the company by changing a mission statement or maybe changing comp for a couple of years, but we don't do the dirty hard work to match the DNA to the people who are working to what those aspirational goals are in order to better support your customers. And that's the tough stuff. That's the really tough stuff. Extensible, sustainable change, and I think people underestimate how hard that part of the journey is. Does that make sense?
Well, yes, but I think it's nothing to be afraid of. It's doable. There are people who have been around that block and are willing to help, like Ingrid and myself. we have a lot of advice that we love to share. And I did want to point people to the humorous infographic that we created last year talking about customer experience team roles. And I think Ingrid has it in one of her blogs if you want to Google that search for it on your site. Is that right, Ingrid?
Yeah, we've posted it everywhere, Lynn, right? It's on our site. We've both used it everywhere. It's hilarious, though.
So that's
and I can't believe – go ahead, I'm sorry.
that's chiefcustomer.com, and then also on clearactioncx.com. You can see it under the free resources there.
Lynn, how did we do this again? It's 3:30 on the nose here on the East Coast. How did
it
we do half an hour that fast?
I hate that part.
Well, what a great chat. I hope everybody had super fun time today. I did, as always. And Lynn, thank you for reminding me that there's a lot of good stuff that's happened, too.
You're welcome, Ingrid, and thanks so much for a fun conversation. We look forward to the continual progress in the customer experience field. Onward and upward.